Welcome, wombat folk and trolls, sorcerers and orcs, to Rated RPG, the fantasy role-playing podcast where we toss dice and have fun adventures with our friends. This is the Valley of Green Gold, episode 58. In our last episode, the level 5 Whoop Whoop troop were still in the tower of the wizard Maddox. They had charged into combat against a half dozen undead, including skeletons, zombies, and a ghost. Those undead seemed to be guarding the tower's large circular vestibule. The party has reason to believe that there's a secret entrance to Maddox's study somewhere nearby. But in the middle of combat, both Bunny DePayne and Silbeth were hit by the ghost's horrifying visage, and they failed their saving throws by more than 5, aging them decades.
Oh, holy crap.
What?
Oh, God.
I don't need the fake beard anymore. Yes.
Oh, how old was Bunny DePayne before this?
He was like mid-20s is what I imagined.
Now you're mid-50s.
That's amazing.
Uncle DePayne.
Dear God.
That would kill Wendell instantly. He only has 3 more years of life.
I do not know how long Ophidians live.
I think we're going to find out.
I think Silbeth is, what, in her 20s?
Yes.
I need you to roll a d4, Brad.
1.
Whew. Now she's in her 30s.
Yep. You've aged 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
Jeez.
Yikes.
Damn.
That's rough.
And then you are also frightened.
What does frightened do, by the way?
Frightened creatures, you have disadvantage on any attacks and ability checks as long as the thing that you're afraid of is within your line of sight.
Okay.
And you also can't willingly move any closer to the source of your fear. And generally, any frightened effect will have a duration, but it's not necessarily like something that you would know.
Okay.
We don't get continual saving throws?
You might get additional saving throws. It might be a duration. It depends on the ability.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Clubhead fail with a 13 on his save?
No, you made it.
Ah, okay.
I should have used my inspiration because the other die was a natural 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got it for singing. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, man. Oh, Brad. It's okay. 10 years, you're in your prime.
Oh, yeah. I look even better.
Zombie Skull is on his back lying in a grease puddle, and he's going to try to stand up and continue the fight. Oh, he stands up. All right. Okay. He's got to make a dexterity saving throw, though, because that grease is slippery. And that is a -1.
Nice.
Wow. As he falls prone once more. But it's not over for him. He's going to use the other half of his movement to stand back up again. And a dexterity saving throw to stay on his feet. He gets a 3.
That's not the scene, buddy.
Yay.
Something tells me we should have been focusing on the ghost.
But how do you kill a ghost?
You're the necromancer. You should know. That's true. This is your job, baby.
It's your turn.
Hmm.
Do you want to make a knowledge check?
Yes, I really do.
Give me an arcana check.
15.
All right. You know that a ghost can frighten people and can age them. You've just witnessed that happen. What else do you want to know about a ghost? Would you like to know about how powerful they are? Would you like to know what they're resistant or immune to? Would you like to know what they can do in terms of damage?
Resistant or immune to.
Okay. They have a lot of damage resistances. They're going to be resistant to pretty much all non-magical attacks. They are resistant to acid and fire and lightning and thunder. They are immune to cold, necrotic, and poison damage. And that's what you know with a 15 on your knowledge check.
Yeah, so chill touch. Not a good choice against these guys.
No, certainly not. Wendell might want to fight fire with fire, so to speak. Best way to fight a ghost must be to summon another ghost to fight it.
What?
For you.
I was going to say, an incorporeal creature could probably fight it.
Exactly. So that is what Wendell is going to do.
All right.
Wendell summons a spirit. All right, the undead spirit, which I am going to name Winky.
All right.
Goes straight for the satyr ghost.
Floating out. Just a few feet beyond the edge of the landing there where the fight is taking place, the undead spirit moves out closer to the ghost. What does it do?
It's going to make a number of attacks equal to half this spell's level, rounded down, so 1.
Okay.
Winky attacks with a spectral hand with the intent to do lots of damage and gets an 8.
All right. While ghosts can be probably a little easier to hit than most creatures, an 8 is not enough.
It's not an 8. It's only rolling 1d20 plus your spell attack modifier.
Oh, so...
Like, was that an 8 on the die?
It got an 8 on the die, and then your spell attack modifier needs to be added in. So what's that?
It's a 15.
That is a hit!
Hell yeah! Yes.
Yay! I assume it's going to do no damage.
It does 6 points of necrotic damage, which equals no damage, because ghosts are immune to necrotic damage.
Perfect. Wow. So this is going to be a great learning experience for Wendell.
Yes. And then it has to succeed on a wisdom saving throw. Or wait, it can't be frightened. So it's, yeah.
Oh! The logic was sound. It just was completely wrong.
Yep.
Right tactic, wrong enemy, man.
Eureka! Yep.
But, well, just like fighting fire with fire, you actually said you were going to do that,
yep,
which is what you did.
Yep, that's what Wendell thought would work, and now it makes a lot of sense, but not in this situation, sadly.
Wendell, surf on the ghost, man.
Yes.
All right, anything else for Wendell?
No, I don't think so.
Nikita Blade is up, Clubhead and Silbeth on deck.
At the beginning of her turn, my choking cloud of spores is going to fill her nostrils as a reaction. So she needs to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. 24.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a pass.
All right. She shows you by not breathing those spores in.
Yeah, they just tickle.
Taking stock of the situation, knowing she has a long bow, you're in front of her. She has other targets that are farther away. Let me just quickly see here if she has the wherewithal to know whether or not she'd have disadvantage. No, she doesn't. She's going to try to shoot you at 5-foot range with a longbow.
Okay.
So she's going to have disadvantage on this.
Cool.
When she was alive, she definitely wouldn't have done this, but she's going to give it a shot with disadvantage. That is a 20 to hit.
Ow!
Oh, Nikita, why'd you shoot your bow? You were too close to him, don't you know?
She does 6 points of piercing damage to Clubhead, and then hearing Silbeth's song, she takes careful aim at the sorceress and fires. Does a 17 hit? Yes. 6 points of piercing damage to Silbeth, and you take a level of emotion. No.
She still has disadvantage, even if she's shooting someone else.
Really? Oh, because you're within 5 feet of her.
Yeah, that doesn't
13.
Hit me. Hell yeah. That does yeah. not hit
oh,
me.
My God. It like goes right past your hair. It like snips off a little bit of your hair.
I still might take a point of emotion off that.
Yeah, because you can tell she hates your song.
Right, which really hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
That's why you sing louder. Don't let them win.
Don't let the haters win, Brad.
Here we go. I rolled an 8. I only have 1 point of emotion.
Oh, well, hold on. Maybe you'll get some more.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I think aging 10 years would add another, so you're at 2.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, my God.
And I should probably take another roll then.
Yeah, you would have needed one, so we'll use whatever this is.
A 10.
Whew. You made it.
Yes.
That is Nikita Blade's turn, and it's Clubhead's turn. Silbeth on deck.
Okay. That ghost, not really cool to have around messing up my friends. So I'm going to cast a spell, don't you know? Yeah, I'm going to cast Shroom Beam.
Yes!
It is a 5-foot radius, so it affects 4 squares.
Okay.
And I would love for it to maybe hit the ghost and Nikita Blade, if possible.
Yeah, you can.
All right, so I think, even though it sort of looks like I could hit all 3, I think that...
You can.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in there.
All right.
You got him.
Bam. I'm zapping the dwarf zombie, Nikita Blade, and the ghost with my shroom beam. Baby.
Bing bong bing.
All right. And that is a DC 15 con save. We're going to start with the ghost. Actually, no. We'll start with the dwarf zombie. Dwarf zombie. That funky zombie.
Dwarf zombie. He's been ineffective all game, so.
It's not his fault. It's how he's made.
It's just grease, baby.
Yeah. His hands are sweaty. 21 on his con save.
Oh, that's what I get.
Okay. Well, he's going to take half damage.
Okay.
So he takes 7 points of radiant damage.
He takes 7 points, and his flesh sizzles and pops.
Awesome. And also, just to be totally fair, this doesn't happen until the beginning of their turn.
Ah.
So it is possible for like somebody to hit me and make me lose concentration before they have to take the damage. But the dwarf zombie's coming right up.
So. I was so excited that you finally got some damage on a thing. I couldn't wait to give it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Moonbeam, Shroom Beam is in place. Anything else for Clubhead?
Yeah, I will draw my staff and cast Shillelagh as a bonus action, which I can do because it's a cantrip. And then I am done.
Silbeth, an arrow just whizzed past your head. You see a giant shroom beam has sprouted up. What do you do?
My first question is, what happens with my frightened condition?
So you can't move any closer, and being frightened means that you get disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls. So that's the extent of that. You can't move closer. You can stay right where you are, and you can still fire crossbow or shoot a spell off, whatever, but you will have disadvantage.
I will cast Tasha's Mind Whip on it.
Cool.
Ooh.
And that doesn't need to hit. It basically needs a saving throw from them.
All right. Nice. And psychic damage is going to work. So let's see what we do here. Intelligence. Oh.
Yeah.
I said whip it. Mind whip it.
Good.
It gets a 3. It fails its save.
Hey!
Yes!
Hey! Ooh, 13 psychic damage. Nice. The ghost shudders. Seems as though it's been affected by your psychic blast of the mind whip. And because of the hit, it can't do a bunch of stuff on its next turn. It must choose whether it gets to move, an action, or a bonus action. Only gets one of the 3.
I'm also going to twin the spell with meta magic.
Ooh, so that means you essentially get a whole second spell attack, right?
That's right.
It just has to be on a different target.
And who can I see here?
You can see Clubhead. He's a good choice.
No!
The undead spirit that Wendell cast, also a good choice. Nikita Blade. I think you can see the zombie skull who's having a lot of trouble getting up.
Yep. I'll go for Nikita, I think.
All right, Nikita is in front of Clubhead.
And she'll need a save.
This is an intelligence save, not her strong suit. A 9. Boo!
Boo! All right.
Nice.
12 psychic damage. Clubhead, Nikita's in front of you. You know, she's shot you with a bow and she's a zombie. And then all of a sudden you see this. What does Mind Whip look like?
It's like my head starts to glow a little bit and I take the glowing energy, pull it off of my head and just it becomes a whip in my hand.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You see this whip come sailing over your shoulder, Clubhead. And as it hits Nikita Blade, like right in the center of her forehead, she starts shaking and then her head explodes.
Nice.
She is dead.
Woo! I love being a sorceress.
She falls off the ledge. Her body slumps to the ground headless. Okay, anything else for Silbeth?
No.
All right, the dwarf zombie starts his turn in the moonbeam, and he rolls very poorly. No, he didn't roll poorly. He rolled really well.
Yeah.
And he resists. He only takes 7 points of radiant damage. He looks wounded. All right, next up is, he's going to attack.
He looks wounded, but he also looks radiant.
Skin's glowing.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
I don't know. Maybe it's Clubhead.
He swings his mace at Clubhead, a 20 to hit, finally landing a shot. The damage is a big question mark.
It's secret damage.
Secret damage that doesn't show up when you roll it.
Oh, hate it.
It's what you find in therapy.
Yeah. That's 5 points of bludgeoning, 6 points when you add his strength, 6 points of bludgeoning damage to Clubhead.
And I pass my concentration save.
Okay, constitution, nice. There you go. Oof. Nicely done. Next is the skeleton with the axe. He is lying on the ground. He fell off the stairs, you know, with the grease and everything, so he uses half his movement to stand up. He looks around. He sees Bunny DuPain. An old man. Now, weird. Last time he saw him, he was a young dude, but he starts moving toward the bottom of the stairs, and he makes it.
An old man who was surfing on one of the other skulls.
Just a moment ago.
Yes. He's just like, what? Why do you knock me down? And now you're an old man. That's weird. Okay. And he uses his movement to approach, but he's not yet within melee range.
Turtle surfing ages you, you know?
Yeah.
It really does, man.
Yeah.
I hit the turtle hard.
Speaking of Bunny DuPain, it is his turn.
So if I'm correct, do I still have to move away from the sadder ghost, or am I far enough away?
You don't have to move away, but you can't move any closer.
And I'll have disadvantage on all attacks, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Hey, Emery, are there aging rules in 5th edition?
Not really.
You know, like, you could change ability scores based on age brackets or something.
Yeah, because in previous editions, sometimes some of them had, like, you'd lose your physical abilities as you age and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there are no penalties in the base game.
In the older versions of D&D, there used to be, like, 401ks and stuff. Do they still have that?
No, they don't.
Okay. Do I get a Roth IRA now that I'm 55? Is that something?
No, you can't. You can't do it.
Wait, do you think in real life you just automatically get a Roth IRA when you're 55?
No. No. Wait a minute. Are you telling me Arkansas public schools were bad? I won't stand for this.
Dion, they weren't bad. They were the worst.
We were top three. Don't ask which direction. Top three.
All right. So you don't have to move away from the satyr ghost. If you go down the stairs, you will be moving kind of a little bit farther away. So you'll be safe to move down the stairs to attack the other skull.
He'll get disadvantaged there, right?
That's right.
Oh, was I supposed to roll a saving throw at the end of my turn, perhaps?
Oh, yes, you were. Yes, you were. Sorry, I was with the twinning spell and everything.
What kind of save is it?
It is a... Wisdom save.
12?
Oh.
Just missed it, didn't I?
You're still frightened.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
13.
Bummer.
That ghost. Oh.
So, didn't I kill the one that I'm kind of on
you
top
did.
Of?
Yeah, yeah. He's dead, yeah.
I'm going to try to fight the one with the axe, I guess?
All right.
I mean, fuck it. We ball, baby. I can't die twice, right? Ha ha. Yeah. That'd be crazy. All right. I'm going to.
That's definitely going to be a James Bond movie title at some point. You can't die twice.
All right, here we go. You can't. Bam! First hit. Does a 14 hit?
Oh, you hit him, but it bounces off of his shell.
Boy, back in my prime, I would have gave you the blood for the white tussie. But I just swung like another 14.
You literally made four attacks, which...
I keep double-clicking because I'm still used to the fantasy ground shit now. I'm all upside down.
Did you want to use an ice cold point to try for four attacks?
I don't think it's... really
yeah you right know now. That you're I mean, frightened
yeah I'm spooked to the gooch.
Okay,
something I've never said before. Why did I say
well
that?
But
you are. You're frightened, you know.
Yeah I'm fucking frightened, man. I'm spooked to the gooch. All the cool kids say that. Yeah,
even your taint is terrified.
He's got terrified taint.
So now I'm gonna try to do a wisdom save and use my inspiration.
All right.
Oh, I didn't even need it. Natural 20 with it though.
You realize you ain't afraid of no ghost.
That's goddamn right.
Yeah.
My gooch is unspooked.
By the way, fewer things are more sad than an aging wrestler.
Like, we made a really
I
good
mean,
movie
it got
about that.
Mickey Rourke. Yeah. I think it's Mickey Rourke,
yeah.
Right? Who won that
Mickey
Oscar?
Rourke, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd still have to age at least another 20 years to match the
to get that face?
Desperation of Ric Flair's yes. last match, right? Like, just cut me.
Well, I mean, I feel like that could happen in the next round because it's about to be the ghost's turn, right?
Oh, boy.
It
oh
sure
boy.
Is. And the oh ghost.
Boy. Hey, it's got to make a save. It's in the shroom beam.
Constitution saving throw. It gets a 1.
Yes!
Wow. Full damage.
And also, please remember it's under the effect of the mind whip.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's go.
Mind whip. It takes 13 radiant damage.
All right. That's pretty sweet damage.
It's not vulnerable to radiant, is it?
It is not. Okay. But it is not resistant to it or anything either. So it takes that full 13 points of radiant damage.
Love it.
It is not within melee range of any of you, although the undead spirit is right in front of it, but it knows better. It knows better. You are all still within 60 feet of the ghost, however, so it is going to use its horrifying visage again. Now, the good news is that on a success, like Clubhead and Wendell had, the target is immune to horrifying visage for the next 24 hours.
Oh, thank goodness.
Nice.
But for the rest of you...
Even us who just broke out?
Actually, hold on a second. Yes. Okay, yes. You did it. Good job. You're all immune for 24 hours.
Except for Silbeth, who hasn't succeeded.
Yeah, I'm still frightened, so it will have zero effect on me.
Yeah.
Except for the duration.
And except for the potential to age. It doesn't have a lot of options because of the restrictions on Tasha's Mind Whip. So it is going to... It's going to move, actually.
That's smart. Shouldn't stay in that shroom beam.
It's going to move all the way up the ramp to where Silbeth and Wendell are. And it's going to stop right there. So it's still within melee range of Clubhead.
Did it go through Clubhead?
Yes, it did.
That's awesome.
He got slimed.
Ooh, spooky.
It wasn't great for it either. It didn't enjoy it either. And that's all it can do on its turn. So there you go.
Okay.
The zombie skull laying on its back tries to get up again. It does. It rises to its feet and it gets a 17.
Oh, yay!
Wow. It stays standing.
No way.
Oh, what a great job, buddy. It moves closer to Clubhead to attack with its weapon.
It's still within the range of the grease, as it turns out.
Yeah, as it's moving. So does it have to make another roll if it moves?
Not till end of turn.
End of turn. Okay. So it's going to swing at Clubhead with a mace. And it misses.
Ha! Yay.
And then it ends its turn, and it gets a 3 on its dexterity saving throw back on its back again.
I'm kind of, like, rooting for him for some reason, because he's just doing his best.
Yeah. Wendell the Wombat, you're up, and you have a ghost in front of you. What do you do?
Ooh, I don't know, man. Wendell's flummoxed by the ghost. What did you say the immunities were?
They are acid, fire, lightning, thunder, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. And immune to cold, necrotic, and poison.
But if it's a magical attack...
You're good to go.
Okay, cool. If it's magical lightning damage, that would hurt it, right?
Yeah.
I'll just do a shocking grasp.
Ooh. Lightning springs from your hand. You're going to shock this ghost that's in front of you. You try to touch the ghost, and it just moves around, and you can't touch it. Natural one.
Aww, sad. Well, at least Wendell's got an undead spirit to boss around.
That's true, and it's the undead spirit's turn, unless Wendell has something else he wants to do.
No, the undead spirit is standing right next to the zombie skull that's had all the problems standing up.
Yeah.
And is still not standing up.
Nope.
And it's going to have some fun.
Okay, it'll have advantage if it's a melee attack. A deathly touch would be, so 15 to hit.
That 15 is only what he rolled on the die. He's got a plus 7 on that.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh!
22.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, in that case, yeah, he just reaches into the neck hole of the shell and taps him on his face.
Reaches right through the shell, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, gets in there. Gets all up in them turtles.
11 damage.
11 damage, and it's got to make a wisdom save or it's going to be frightened. Can a zombie be frightened? I don't think it can be.
I don't think it can be.
No, it can be.
Can it be?
Strange, but it can
be. What's a zombie afraid of?
Well, this particular zombie rolled an 8, so it is afraid of the spirit that just touched its face.
Wow.
It doesn't like very its frightened. Shell being penetrated that easily, you know? That's kind of like,
no.
You know, it thought it was safe.
You did not have permission to touch me on the face. And it's frightened. And it's on its back. It's a bad, bad scene. And that's the first time that particular turtle has taken any damage at all.
Cool.
Oh, that's funny.
Anything else for Wendell? I mean, the spirit.
No, don't want an attack of opportunity, so I'm just going to stand there and take it like a wombat.
Yeah.
Take it like a wombat.
Like a wombat?
Club heads up.
Okay. Somehow I have managed to maintain concentration on my shroom beam, which is great.
Can you move out of its way and start shroom beaming those other dudes?
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to spend my action to move the shroom beam. It moves over to cover up the zombie skull and the ghost.
Okay.
That is my action. Bonus action. Because it seems like this is a tough fight. Okay, this is a tough fight. I'm going to use all my short rest cooldown stuff. I'm going to use my last wild shape until I short rest to activate my symbiotic entity.
Yay!
I gain a bunch of temporary hit points. And my halo of spores does more damage.
Awesome.
Nobody ever fails their save against that, so it doesn't really matter.
Ah, well, you got to try. You did the one time.
That's true. The
it was
one
like
time.
2 points. Yeah, it was really helpful. All right. Anything else for Clubhead?
Nope.
All right. So, Beth, you are frightened of this ghost, and it has moved very close to you. You're still frightened by it, but you don't have to move away. What do you do?
So I'm going to cast Tasha's Mind Whip on it again.
All right. And it has to make an intelligence saving throw. And it rolls a 3, which is a fail.
Nice.
So go ahead and roll up that damage.
Derp-a-dook.
Ooh, some rough damage roll there. A 1, a 3, and a 4 on a 3d6. So you got a total of 8.
Okay. I think I will... Yeah, I'm going to use a sorcery point.
Okay.
And I'm going to reroll, I think, the 1 and the 3.
Ooh, spicy.
All right. Roll them up.
Nice.
Not bad, not bad. All right, so you got 13 points of damage, and that is psychic damage?
Correct.
So it all goes in. All goes in that ghost brain.
Nice. And then it will be under those effects again, of course, next round.
Yes.
And I guess I will then make my saving throw again. And I'm going to use Tides of Chaos to give myself advantage on that.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, does that mean that a surge happens?
It means I take a point of emotion, but I don't surge.
Oh, okay.
So being frightened, does that affect saving throws?
No.
So you do have advantage, full advantage. 7 and an 8.
How is that possible?
So you are still frightened.
Okay.
Well, you rolled a five and a...
Okay, hold on a second here.
Brutal.
The fact that Brad said, how is that possible? I mean, that leads me to believe that Silbeth is taking an emotion.
Yes,
right
yes.
There.
That is true.
agreed. So you're up to 6 now.
Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah, good catch. Yeah, when Brad is frustrated, Silbeth is frustrated.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought I had another ability that I could reroll. Is that an ability check?
That is a saving throw.
What is the definition of an ability check?
That would fall under skill check, right? Like anything that's a skill check where you're using an ability. Although it would say skill check, right?
Yeah. Ability checks are anything that is a skill check. Other things that are ability checks are initiative rolls, because that's a dexterity check. But saving throws are different from ability checks.
Okay.
Congratulations, Emery. You just earned $200 for your rules lawyering.
Yay!
Well, it's 200 copper. It's actually much less.
Okay, I was just checking. I thought that was the answer, but...
You were just ability checking?
Well, I have this thing called magical guidance, where I can re-roll a d20 that was an ability check.
Try to remember that that applies to initiative, because that's one of the best types of ability checks.
Yeah. Okay, well, in that case, I guess I'm done.
All right. That's it for you. The dwarf zombie, he's seeing Clubhead, and Clubhead has mocked him so much.
And I'm going to mock him one more time by filling his nostrils with spores. Come on, baby.
Yes, let's go.
What is that, a con save for him?
Con save.
He gets a 13.
Hey!
Let's go! Failed! Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
7 points of necrotic damage, baby.
Baby.
He normally doesn't breathe because he's a zombie, but for whatever reason, he took a big, deep inhale before he swung his mace, and all of the spores went up his nostrils. He is in agony. He's in agony, and he's very angry at you. He swings his mace, and he gets a 16.
Oh, I deflect it with my shield.
He swings it again in rage. He misses you completely. Oh.
This must have been what it must have felt like for other people to fight Croaky. Just a shambling mess.
He's a complete failure, but he's not going to give up because he doesn't.
But he's got heart.
He doesn't quit. He's got nothing but heart.
I give him props for that.
Ah, well, he likes that. He agrees. Then he's still going to try to kill you. The skeleton with an axe is at the base of the stairs. Buddy DePain tried to hit him with club seat, and the skeleton is having none of it. He is going to try to put an end to the old wrestler.
Grandpa DePain over here.
He swings with his axe. Where is his axe?
Dead.
Oh, he's a skeleton. He's a skeleton.
Where is his axe?
That old Frank Sinatra standard. Where is his axe?
Is it up his ass?
Axe up his ass.
All right. Here you go. Great axe swinging.
Get away from me.
That is a 10. As you Matrix style bend way back and it goes over. Then he swings at your legs and you jump over the axe.
I'm still spry, baby.
He's got nothing. He's got nothing. And it's your turn.
Oh, and no more disadvantage. I'm definitely swinging 4 times.
All right.
Let me show you how we used to do it back in the Boogaloo. My back's a little tight.
Rough back in the Boogaloo.
Dude, it was rough in the Boogaloo. Everyone wanted to leave.
Natural one. As you swing down on him with the club seat, he just blocks it with his hand and he does that thing with his finger. He shakes it. No, no, no.
He matomboed me? Oh, I can't let that slide. Here we go. Bam! Wow, shit.
He ducks out of the way of the 12, doesn't hit him.
Oh, man, no.
Do I want to spend an ice cold point when I've whiffed twice? It's really only better.
That's because you got no stamina in your 50s, dude.
What are you talking, man? Listen, I just got to do some yoga or something. I'll be right back. It's still good. What can I do as a bonus action?
Like a single attack? It's not bad.
You know what?
It doesn't cost you anything.
Go for
it. That's true, yeah. I'm just going to... Oh, wait, because I can attack twice naturally, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the bonus action is typically for a monk is an unarmed strike, but you can use improvised weapons.
Oh, that's right. Kiss my...
Oh man.
I gotta get out of the book. You know what?
This has been like the opposite of the tag pub fight where you were like carrying the whole party with your crits, your endless crits and hitting with every attack.
I mean, look, I was cooking up until the point I turned 55, which I think that's most humans. All right, that's, can I move? But that'd promote an attack of opportunity,
right? It would, yeah. Yep.
Fuck it. I'm going to stay right here. They can handle the upstairs. I can handle one-on-one. I'm good.
Dude, I can still cook, all right?
All right, Walt. Okay. So the satyr ghost starts its turn in the moonbeam, right?
Yep.
It's got to make a con save.
Yep.
And it gets a 5.
Nice. Oh, wow. Okay. That's great. Full damage here. 11 points.
As the moonbeam blasts this ghost one final time, the ghost evaporates into dust and a little droplets of ectoplasm. Excellent work on that ghost.
Does the fear still linger on me?
No, it's done because the ghost is no longer in front of you.
I'm not afraid anymore.
Do I de-age or am I just old?
No, you're just old.
Oh, shit!
That's so brutal.
Wow. I died. Yeah. I came back, got old. This is Paracone. You better. I need some cream.
Oh, we're not out of combat yet. The zombie skull is starting his turn, and he's under the moonbeam, so he's got to make a constitution save and throw.
That's right.
Zombie skull. You know, zombie skull, our old friend. He makes a 17.
Okay, well, he only takes half, but I rolled 2 tens. He takes 10 radiant damage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Big damage.
Wow.
I got big damage energy.
Under the moonbeam. He sizzled and fried under the moonbeam.
He's gonna die
under the moonbeam.
All right. It blasts little bits of the shell away. The radiant damage destroys big chunks of the turtle's shell. It's a zombie, and it's tough, and it's still there. It's gonna try to get up using half of its movement again.
It's fun watching this turtle struggle.
Sure is.
The turtle struggle. He gets up, and then he makes it. He got a 15.
Wow.
Yay. And he's right next to Clubhead, too, so he's going to let him have it.
We all know what his theme song is.
Do we?
I get knocked down, but I get up again, and nothing going to kick me down.
Oh, his hands are covered with grease. He can't hold on to his mace. He swings it twice and misses Clubhead both times.
Whoop, whoop.
He's right within 5 feet of you. Is there some sort of spore situation that he has to contend with?
I used it. I don't have a reaction until my turn.
So that is the zombie skull's turn. He's not quite smart enough to get out of that moonbeam, though. Wendell is up.
Now, hold on a second. If he's still in the grease, he's got to make another dexterity save.
All right, at the end of his turn.
Oh, yep.
He can't win. He can't win. He falls down again. Oh, little buddy. He got a 6.
Wow. Poor guy.
That's how you use grease. That's how grease is supposed to work.
That's how you use grease.
It's great against zombies. Holy shit.
What else do you got, Wendell?
Okay. Wendell? Yeah, wait, the dwarf zombie's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And I think with a little bit of moving, maybe you move a foot or two, you can see him, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to focus on the one that's down on the ground because it seems to me like it might be a little easier to chill touch it.
Yep.
Do I get advantage on the chilly touch?
I believe so.
Wait, chill touch is a ranged attack.
Oh, right, because it's like 10 feet or 15 feet. Yeah.
It's weird because it's chill touch. Okay.
Yeah, touch. Yep. Yeah, we've gone over this whole chill touch thing. It's not cold damage either.
What?
Yeah, come on. It's a ranged necrotic spell, even though it's called chill touch.
Oh, yeah.
Such a stupid name.
It is really mislabeled.
I believe it's getting changed. So
yeah.
Thank God.
In about 4 or 5 months, we'll probably never have to have this conversation again.
Yep. Great.
We'll have other conversations.
Yeah, we'll have to have a lot of other ones when we try to figure out the updated rules.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
All right.
Well, then I don't have any cold damage, so let's see. I think Wendell's just going to do this. He's going to create a flaming sphere.
Ooh!
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to put it right behind the zombie skull, so he really has nowhere to go.
All right.
And the grease is going to light up as well.
Nice.
Excellent.
I like it.
Now, that one is concentration, right?
Yep.
All right. You put a 5-foot diameter sphere of flame right there next to that skull. It's going to be touching him. And he's got to make a dexterity saving throw.
And I'm going to drop the spirit. The spirit's going to disappear.
All right. Spirit goes, bye-bye. Bye, Wendell.
Goodbye, I'll Winky.
You, I'll see you around sometime.
Okay.
Come back. Have me come back sometime. I like it. I'm gonna be a friend.
I didn't know you talked like that, or I never would have dismissed you.
That's okay. I'll see you around.
Bye. Blinky Wizzo?
Where was he from?
Nobody knows. That's
New
the
Orleans.
Thing.
He's from New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
That's what he claims.
All right, so you cast a flaming sphere, and he fails his saving throw. He's on his back anyway. He's so fucked. He takes 2d6 of fire damage, so roll that.
5.
He bursts into flame. He achieves 0 hit points, and because he's a zombie, there is a potential for him to come back to life with a single hit point. Since he took 5 points of damage, DC is only 10, so let's see how this works. He's still got 1 hit point.
Nice.
Okay, does he take more damage from the now burning grease that's all over the place?
Sure. Sure he does. He'll take a D6, so go ahead and give me that.
6.
He's covered in it, too. He's totally covered in the grease because he's been rolling around in it like an idiot.
True.
Yeah, he's lit. He's very lit.
He's lit.
He's lit AF.
All right, he makes his constitution saving throw. He still has 1 hit point.
God damn it.
Hilarious.
Well, he's just going to lie there and squirm around and burn for like an hour until he fails his saves.
He's just been doing the worm in grease for like half an hour.
Yeah,
right. Anything else for Wendell?
No, that's it.
Okay, Clubhead, you're up.
How's this dwarf zombie looking that I'm standing next to?
Yeah, he's looking pretty beat up. You might be able to take him out in one shot.
Oh, okay. I will try to take him out in one shot. I will swing my shillelagh at him.
He is wearing full plate mail, so he will be a little tricky to hit there.
Oh, he's a tough little nubber, is he?
SOB.
Tough little SOB.
Yeah, you've mostly hit him with spell effects, so his armor class really hasn't come into play.
True. Well, you know what? I'm gonna risk it for the biscuit here. Shillelagh.
Oh. I didn't know there were biscuits.
Oh, well, there aren't, I guess.
Nope, there aren't for you, because the shillelagh clangs off of his armor.
Well, that's unfortunate, but you know what? I'm fine with it.
Good perspective, Clubhead. You know?
I'm done with my turn.
All right, Silbeth is up, no longer frightened.
Yay! Oh, I'll say, don't worry about this one. He's about to get shroomed to death.
Yeah, the zombie that has been having trouble getting up. He's about to get hit with a moonbeam. Shroombeam.
All flames, basically.
Yeah.
Flames and bright light. I don't even know how you could look at him without going blind.
Can I get to line of sight of the dwarf zombie without going in the moonbeam and such?
Yeah, you've got a few inches to spare. You can do it.
All right. And has that zombie been wounded at all?
He has, yes.
Just a little bit, though, right?
Yeah, a fair amount.
What the heck? I'm going to cast Ray of Frost at him.
Yeah, baby.
16?
16 is not a hit.
Well, okay, then.
That plate armor, boy.
Yeah, it kind of sizzles his armor. His armor gets really cold, but it doesn't damage him at all.
Okie dokie.
All right.
I got my spores back. They're going to start filling up this dwarf zombie's head, trying to eat away at his eyes, get to his brain.
The dwarf zombie, just seeing that everybody is attacking him, he just really badly wants to take one of you out. So bad. So he's going to first have to breathe in some spores to get a big deep breath. It's a con save, right?
It is.
It's a 17.
Oh, he passed.
Oh, now he's feeling it. And he's going to swing on you 17 to hit you, Clubhead.
That hits!
I didn't even realize zombies breathed.
Yeah, he's a force of habit from an old time.
Got it.
He does 6 points of bludgeoning damage with his first hit, and he swings a second time, but you're able to deflect it.
That first hit, it goes to my temporary hit points. However, I've looked this up. If you take any damage, even if it goes to your temporary hit points, you have to make the concentration check.
Oh.
Which I find to be silly. I feel like temporary hit points should be immune to that. Yeah. But
yeah,
them's the rules. So here's my concentration check. A 5! No! Moby goes away! Well, that's unfortunate.
So Clubhead basically lied to Silbeth now.
I didn't expect this stupid dwarf zombie to hit me.
Yeah.
All right. The skeleton with an axe facing down Bunny DuPain is going to take some shots on him. Going to try to slice him up with this great axe. First attack is a 12 to hit. I don't think that hits.
No, yep. That doesn't touch me, Sonny.
Second attack, even worse. You're able to just like jump and dive out of the way, moving all around, and the turtle can't get a bead on you. It's your turn.
Oh, you know what? I'm older, I'm wiser. I'm gonna whoop your monkey ass. Club hit!
Hey. Oh my god, 26 to hit.
And we come right back with a whiff, but that's all good, because I'm coming again with a 21, and I'm coming again with a natural one, and one more time.
That's a lot of attacks.
Yeah, you got an extra attack in there. You got too many in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, because you get the bonus one if you don't do the additional ones, right?
Oh. You got to watch that bunny.
Oh.
The fifth attack was just a theoretical attack. Like, in his head, he imagined.
I'm in his head now. Right. He's thinking of the attacks to come, you see.
Yeah. It's the third bludgeoning problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see here. You do 16 points of bludgeoning damage. He is a skeleton, though.
Ooh. And
skeletons, they don't like bludgeoning damage. They take extra. And your senses are tingling. You have done enough damage now that this skeleton with an axe has less than 10 hit points. All right, zombie skull is going to try to get back up again. It's his only mission in life is to remain standing for an entire turn, start to finish. He gets up on his feet, and he stays on his feet! Yay!
Wow!
Brave new world.
He swings a clubhead with his mace, and he almost falls down that time. He swings again, and clubhead, you just bat his mace away from you. He's not doing well. And then he fails his next dexterity check. Let me give him one more here. Okay, yeah. He fails his dexterity check, and then he slips in the grease some more, and he falls all the way off of the ledge.
He's the Milhouse of zombies. Just no luck.
I'm feeling sorry for him.
Seriously.
He takes 5 points of bludgeoning damage when he hits the ground, and that drops him to 0 hit points, and then he has to make a constitution saving throw to see if he comes back with 1 hit point, and he does.
Oh,
okay. He's prone on the ground. He's finally out of the grease, though.
Also, he ended his turn range of the ball of fire, so he's going to take 2d6 fire damage.
Okay, so 10 points of fire damage. We're going to give that to him.
I just can't get a break, man.
He's having a tough time. All right, and he's got to make his con save as a 13. That's enough to do it.
Damn it.
So he's down on the ground. Oh, he's got to take a d6 from the fire because the grease is still on fire. Oh, he takes one point of damage. They really don't want this session to end. Okay, yeah, he's still there. 1 point of damage. Okay.
Yeah, see, like, that's why Shroom Beam is so important, because if they take radiant damage, they don't get this con save.
Yeah. All right, Wendell the Wombat, you've seen what happened. What do you do?
Okay. I know that we've got 2 zombies left. I'm going to send my flaming sphere after the dwarf zombie. I think that's probably going to be the best bet at this point, because the other zombie is eventually going to burn himself up, hopefully, or something. I don't know.
All right. So you send it over to the dwarf zombie. What does he got to do? A dex save?
Yeah.
Not great at those. He gets a 5.
All right. 2d6 to the damage. That's going to be whatever I just rolled.
8 is enough to drop him to 0 hit points. He's going to make his little con save here. He gets a natural 1.
Woo! Woo!
That zombie, the dwarf zombie, even with his armor there, he can't avoid burning up.
Ah, it's a miracle.
The dwarf.
Nice.
The dwarf. The dwarf is on fire.
And he is dead. You know, the plate armor still looks really good, though.
Oh, nice.
There's a little hint.
Well, I mean, it's just hot and cold and whatever. It's dented and whatever, but it's not like perfect, but it could be worn, and plate armor's pretty good. Anyway.
I don't think any of us are proficient in it, but.
All right, Wendell done.
Wendell is done. Zombie is dead. And at this point, I'm going to say you guys, vastly outnumbering the two remaining undead, you start just, Bunny, you beat that skeleton 100 times with your club seat till there's almost nothing left, just bone fragments. It doesn't matter because it doesn't get a chance to hit you. And you guys finish off the other zombie skull. Congratulations, you've leveled up.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
Well fought.
That's awesome.
Okay, so can I just right quick, since I'm old now, could I keep one of their turtle shells? I'm thinking I want to turn into like some Master Roshi energy and just like fight with a turtle shell. Just for the future. Yeah.
I mean, there's enough of a shell hanging around. Some of them are broken up a little bit. But yeah, I think if you can find somebody who can craft some armor out of this turtle shell, I think we can come up with something that may not be functional because you fight unarmored.
Yeah.
But it could be something.
It's just aesthetics, but I'm thinking, yeah.
Hey, you should turn it into like a rocking chair.
All right. So as the dust settles in this circular room, you've got this closet, this broom closet or janitor closet that you didn't really fully investigate before. Got all these dead creatures around that you can search. Perhaps you'll find something of use. And Clubhead, that little mouse, is still clinging tenaciously to your shoulder. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Boy, he really wants to tell you something. Oh, if you could only understand what he's trying to tell you. And we will have to find out next time.
Woo.
On the Valley of Green Gold. And that is episode 58 of the Valley of Green Gold. Exciting stuff ahead for the Whoop Whoop Troop, and exciting stuff for us and for you. We love making this podcast possible, even though it is very difficult. Being a very small outfit, basically having one editor, and then when things happen in our lives and jobs and careers and we have to pivot, it can really throw a huge wrench in what we do. We don't do this full time. This is not our career, and we wish it was, but the Powerball, man, it's so hard to hit that Powerball, baby. We're trying, and eventually, maybe someday we will, and or maybe we won't. So if you'd like to support us in our efforts, as difficult as they are sometimes to achieve, you can do that through Patreon, patreon.com/ratedRPG, just like the fine folks who supply us with rations and adventuring gear. Freckled One, Attic Sam, and PJ Sherman, thank you. Many thanks to the gorgeous Phoenix Brigade. Members in good standing include Anna and Mage. Thank you to our Merchant Harbor Gazette supporters, Jackson Wynn, Super Justin 64, GBS Trek, Spidey Mouse, and Brian Smallberries. Thank you to our Dukes, the Wizard Weary, and Turtle and Crow for your support and the potential for cursed items. It has been very exciting to have that looming over the players ever since Silbeth's cursed abyssal nickel. You know, since Mormir took over sheriffing duties for the convalescing Dandy Griffin, he's had to hire some employees at his sandwich shop, Mormir's Hammer. Now, those employees were Holly Summers and Great White Spark, and they were fine employees. Everything was going great till they ran out of pickles one day, and Mormir keeps his pickles in a big oak barrel in the cellar, which is fine for him because he can deadlift over 500 pounds. But for Holly and Great White Spark, it's a two-person job to bring the pickle barrel upstairs. Yeah, I know, they could just take a bucket down and get some pickles and bring them up, but no, people like to reach into the brine with their filthy hands and get the pickles out themselves. There's no health code on Crow Island and Merchant Harbor. It doesn't have a health inspector. Anyway, they went into the cellar. They discovered that a stone spider had moved in, and they failed their saving throws when it bit them, and they both wound up petrified. So, not to let a good opportunity go to waste, Mormir put Holly and Great White Spark in front of his restaurant, like, you know, statues for advertising purposes. And since we can't fit them in the bucket of friends, we certainly can't lift them and move them anywhere, we just let it happen. We're going to talk somebody into casting Greater Restoration on them. But until then, they are theoretically in the bucket of friends. On behalf of everyone around Ye Olde Gaming Table, thank you for enjoying the Rated RPG podcast.